The following episode may contain sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
That jinx, right?
Yeah, poke, owe me a coke.
So, there you go.
Send it all the way from like Miami that. To me.
Okay, so how was the last 2 days for you, Tracy?
I know it's been a short one for us because Nikki's special and she's going out of town next week.
Okay,
good news. I finished Hijack.
How was that?
I thought it was great. I loved it. Kept me on my toes. I was screaming at the TV the whole time, especially those last two episodes.
Oh, man. It's such a good show.
Hands were sweating. Butthole was clenched.
Love that.
All of
love
it.
Love that for you. But keeping it, like, really honest and raw, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I do here. Like, I'm no holds barred. So
love that.
Yeah, if you haven't learned that already after, 28 episodes, what are you doing?
Right? It's been many episodes. I'm actually so proud of us because this might be the most consistent I ever been with anything.
That's what I was going to say about me. Like, I can't commit to a relationship, but I can commit to this. I'm not scared. One-time commitment does not scare me as doing this podcast.
Oh, man. I love that. Wait, actually, we have to introduce ourselves, Trace. Hi, welcome, everyone. This is The Show Must Go On.
And I'm Tracy.
And I'm Nikki. And we're here to judge because
that's we can't get right after 28 episodes.
But exactly. 28 episodes, we're doing the same bullshit over and over again. That's why you keep coming back to us, you know, and listening to us. We kind of, like, really appreciate it. This is also a safe space to judge. So, you know, this is why the moment we start recording, we're like, let's talk shit, you know? I fucking love talking shit.
And my favorite
with
thing.
A little fucking glass of wine or, like, or just a vibe, you know? It's like, let's just talk shit, you know?
Love it.
So, talking about shit, I wanted to bring up, not shit, something actually real good. I saw a trailer for the movie Saturday Night, which is based on how they came up with Saturday Night Live. What? I did not. Yeah. First, I didn't know they were making a movie about that. And the trailer looked amazing, and the cast looked really good. I think it comes up actually really soon, like October, I want to say.
The release date is the same date that Saturday Night Live aired almost 50 years ago. It's October 11th.
Holy shit. Wow. That's an interesting
fact. I kind of wish that they had waited until next year on the 11th, and then it would have been, like, the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
But whatever. That's fine. We're still excited.
It's okay.
It does look good.
We'll still judge them regardless. Doesn't matter, 49 years, 50 years,
you know,
we still have our space for that. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up was this past week, or like 2 days, I honestly don't know.
Time is a construct.
At this point, yeah. Taylor Swift's Vienna's concerts. First of all, like, 100%, you know, like, her team had to do what they had to do, but my heart is broken for everyone that went, you know, the people that were traveling.
Yes,
you know?
Those fans who didn't get to see that show, who spent that money.
And it's so hard to get fucking tickets, man. Like, the fact that I'm still on a waiting list, and I have reached out to every person that I know that could have maybe a contact from the Hard Rock? Like, I don't know.
You're like, I'll give you a kidney. Please, I need to see T Swift.
Exactly. I just refuse to pay like $3,000 to see like on like to sit on the like no like I fucking love her and she's such an amazing artist, right. But I can't pay that.
It is a lot of money. It's
so much money, and I hate that this is only happening here. Like you go to the other countries and it's not happening there. It's just so unfair, you know.
It is,
but. You know, I'm still hopeful.
Well, listeners, I have all my fingers and toes crossed that you get those tickets.
Same. So, for the listeners, if y'all have tickets for Miami, actually, anywhere in the States. States.
No, I don't.
Oh, so if you have two tickets,
yes.
Please let us know because... Oh my God.
Some people really, really want them.
We really want them. And you know what I hate? People that started just being fans now. I'm like, get away.
That always bugs the shit out of me when it's like, oh yeah, I've been listening to her for like the past year. I'm such a fan. And it's like, bitch, I've been there since we were like
1989.
She's in a country phase. Oh, country yes. phase. I used to sing, our song is a slam and scream door. Like, I was on that shit. Mm-hmm. That was like in high school.
I was 2014 girl that started listening to her. Like that's when she became pop full on. And
right.
you know, people that are like, oh my God, they just want to be on the trend. I'm like, get the fuck out of the way. Like, give me your ticket. You don't
the
deserve
shit out of me. Yes. No, I've been there before where I go to a concert and you can tell that the only song that these people know are like the one song that they had on the radio. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't know anything. You're not a fan. Get out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Leave.
Get out of my way.
Push them all out of the way. Elbow.
Love that. Because that's the way it should be. We should push them away.
Violence at the concerts. All out brawl. Who's the number one fan?
A little riot. Just like two people.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Okay. So talking about pop. We do have a guest.
Good segue.
Today.
Good segue.
Hey.
That was good.
Hey. Okay, so we have a guest today, and I'm so freaking excited to have him on the show. I've known him, I want to say, for 4 years now. Yeah. But I kind of feel like we knew each other. We knew about our existence before we met because we were both in the same fitness world. We are gonna read a little bit about him and then we're going to let him say something juicy about himself, you know.
Ooh. Let's do it. Okay, I'm also very excited for this person. I've had the luxury of meeting them and spending time with them, and they're wonderful and they have an excellent resume, so I think they're more than qualified mm-hmm. to be on this episode today. So I'm super psyched. So without delay, let's get into it. So on today's episode, we have Dr. Lee Snyder. Let's go. Ooh, doctor. Yes. All right. And Dr. Lee Snyder is originally from Centerville, Virginia. He holds a doctorate in clarinet performance from the Fox School of Music. I know. Fuck, let's go. Frost School of Music at the University of Miami. He has performed with the Frost Wind Ensemble, Frost Symphony Orchestra, and the Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra, collaborating with artists like Ben Folds and Estelle. Whew. Dr. Snyder has also played with the New Deco Ensemble and several orchestras, including the Sarasota Orchestra and Naples Philharmonic. He co-founded the Miami Clarinet Institute and conducted research on clarinet pedagogy. Dr. Snyder is a backing artist and a soul cycle instructor in Miami. Let's hear it for Lee! Woo-hoo!
Woo! Excuse me!
Let's go!
Okay, Lee, now that you heard all these things that you've done, because I also feel like that's important. So we do a lot of things in the journey of life, you know, but we are never like appreciative in general, like, because we are in the hustle, we are in the middle of it. So now that Tracy just said all these things that you have achieved.
That's what I'm saying. What a fucking resume.
What a fuck. Like, how do you feel? Like, because I'm so fucking proud of you. You know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I hate you guys for reading that.
Hate you too.
No, I feel like, yeah. I feel like I've had a lot of transformations over the years. Yeah, sometimes you kind of forget all the things that you've done.
Because you're in the hustle. Music,
yeah. Classical music has been such like a core part of my identity. And I had that pivot, honestly, like during COVID, where I like started to transition to fitness full time, which I had been managing before, but not in the teaching realm, mm-hmm. Which was how we all met, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, I'm still doing a lot of those things, which is like also kind of crazy to think about, because like it's such a duality of my life. But it's also like, I don't know, I was always like the kid in band that was still like listening to what was popular on the radio and like wanting to like incorporate that into the classical music stuff. So I don't know, music in general was always such a core for me, whether it was classical or, as you guys know very well, pop. Music is obsessed with.
Your Let's core. Go. It's right here, man. Yeah. And talking about pop music, this was for us. So we've always wanted to have Lee on the show. I think, by the way, every time we read the bios and like we bring out what all of our guests have done, I feel so stupid. I'm like. And it's not like stupid. It's like, damn, like the, and listen, I have not read like my bio, quote unquote, in like so long. So maybe like if I do that, I'll be like super amazed by
You've done a lot, Nikki. Don't sell yourself short.
But still, like, you're in the hustle, you're not noticing, but then we have our guests and we like go through all the shit they've done and I'm like, damn, I need to like get my shit together a little bit, you know?
No.
But we do appreciate bringing people with a good head on their shoulders, you know, and having their opinion, because we do judge a lot here. And you know, your opinion matters, you know? It's our favorite thing to do. We freaking love it. Now, talking about
it feeds my soul.
It really does, you know? Yeah. So, talking about pop, we wanted to have Lee on today because we are discussing it's a new documentary, but I think they had done something like that a few years ago. Another network had done it, but it's a new documentary on Netflix called Dirty Pop, and it's Dirty Pop, the Boy Band Scam. Which, by the way, I think the name is genius. Dirty Pop, like
genius.
The so way, smart. The moment I saw it, I was like, "Oh,
you know exactly what it is."
Yeah.
Also, exactly. Now I can never stop hearing Dirty Pop.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Dirty Pop. Yeah. Yep. It's been over and over in my head, so
forever.
I'm sick and tired of hearing all these.
We were all fans. I can tell already.
Oh my gosh, yes. So good.
Which so, actually, yes, go, get into it, because then I have a very important question. But yes,
continue. So just having Lee, who's already a musician, you know, and not only he's a musician with a PhD, he's also a musician that loves pop music, and he's a millennial, which matters a lot. In this conversation.
That's so important.
Because
yes. It's true.
A lot of people, the new generation, they don't know who these bands were, like, which I kind of feel sad for them. I'm like, you did not experience the pop, the real pop boom.
Like the fact that Justin Timberlake, when he just got pulled over for a DUI, and the officer didn't know that he was Justin Timberlake?
Like, I forgot.
It was like, okay, got it. Uh-huh. Got it. I know. Oh, pop music as a millennial makes the trauma we've received worth it.
Truly. 100%. Truly. 100%. I agree.
I wouldn't trade it.
No. Nope. Not at all. Not at all. It's so important that we went through that so we could enjoy that music. And I also like when it comes to enjoying music, you know how a lot of people are like, like I wish I lived in like the 70s or like the 80s. The 80s music was really good. I'm not saying it wasn't. Not the 70s where disco was great too, you know. But late 90s pop was just like, oh my God, it was so good and exciting and a lot of like storytelling, but also like everyone felt like they were overprotected, you know, everyone was trying to come out of their shell in their way. It was such a beautiful era, for real. Like, and the fact that they were also young too.
Right. I mean, they're like 16, 17, and I feel like it's not just the fact that it was like the music, but they were performers.
Yes.
You know, because you had Britney and Christina, even like Jessica Simpson, Mandy Moore. Like, they not only sang, they danced.
Uh-huh.
You know? So it was like you had everything.
Beautiful about, they had to do it all, one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And two, we didn't have social media, so we didn't have any insight into them outside of interviews, outside of J14. Like, we had to, like, rely on outside resources, and we just had the image that they were able to project. There was no breaking of that fourth wall, which I think is what made the obsession even deeper. Like, now it feels like we know Ariana, like, we know Tate McRae, like, we know about them because they post and they have all their, like, personal things on TikTok or Instagram, but we didn't have those things. We had the poster we could tear out of the magazine and the interview that they had on a late night talk show, and that was it.
Uh-huh. And, like, MTV. That was it, you know, the top 10, top 20, whatever it is, and to wait in front of that TV for the video that you wanted to see.
TRL.
You know? Oh, it's my over. Gosh. Are you
Thank
kidding
you.
Me?
That's what I was thinking.
Making of the video? Are you kidding?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What a time to be alive, you know?
Yes, that's true.
It makes me kind of sad that we can never go back to it, you know? And what you were saying is truly, you know, the fact that the breaking of the fourth wall, you know, through social media, because it's not that we don't love any of these new pop stars. We do love them. Like, they're fucking amazing. I feel like, and also, like, the talent when it comes to, like, singing and writing, you know, it just gets better and better and better, you know, and, like, diving into different, like, genres in pop as well. But it feels a little bit more personal because of that, because we follow them on social media. You know, before it felt like untouchable, like I'm just like an spectator, like watching all the time, learning the choreographies, you know, like I want to be like them, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's like completely different. I feel like it's a whole different different world. And the fact that even the artists now, they kind of like through TikTok and all this stuff, they do interact with their fan base way more.
Yeah.
You know? And way before more. They had like their group of fans. Like, they would get invited to stuff, you know, like specific people, you know, I'm the founder of their fan base, blah 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 blah. You remember those times?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a thing anymore. You know, it doesn't really exist. Okay. Well, that was a good, how do you call that? Nostalgic moment. but let's talk about this super fucked up documentary. And it's not the documentary that's fucked up. It's what happened to these people. It's what's fucked up. I knew this because I had seen something like a few years ago in a different network, but I feel like this one went in deeper, you know, and they interview, you know, some of the some of like the bands, the band members. So I'm going to read a little bit of the synopsis of what it is about. We have Backstreet Boys, we have NSYNC, Lou Pearlman created the biggest boy bands of the 90s and one of the largest Ponzi schemes in history. A riveting docuseries directed by Terry Fine, and it is available to stream on Netflix. So let's talk about, and this is something I wanted to like bring up to Lee. So Lee and I have been basically victims of Ponzi schemes. And honestly, I really hope in the future, maybe if we have, you know, Trey one time told me, like, why don't you just do it? Maybe if we have a producer that's listening, someone that can invest money, I have a great idea for a docuseries about a Ponzi scheme that was basically covered as a cycling studio. So if you're ever interested in telling a really good story, because I can really picture it, I can picture those juicy ass interviews, we're here for you, and we're ready to tell that story.
I'm ready to
yeah, me too. Or like,
you just
walk...
picture right here at the bottom, Lee.
Yeah,
Dr. Lee Snyder.
Yes. Literally. Yeah. And then in parenthesis, victim.
I've thought about even just making... How much time do we have? I thought about making even like a TikTok series at one point of being like, walk through this experience with me. But like, to be honest, I'm like a little bit scared. So I think we do need a producer.
So we can get someone like in the legal advice, like what, you know, because we never know. We know someone that could probably give us legal advice too.
I was just going to say, yeah, we probably could.
But we know what it is to be in there, to have people above you basically use your talents. And I'm not saying directly above you, like even beyond that, on the extreme corporate level, making money from you, from your talent, nonstop. And this is basically what happened to all these bands. Now, before we dive into it, I just want to say that it is, I get the idea of being like, if someone's gonna create a competition, it should be us. But I think that was the most fucked up thing I have ever heard about.
It was such
anyone.
An interesting,
so sneaky,
like, perspective. It was like really, really interesting to like think that, like, to kind of see that that's what his mindset was on it. That it wasn't just like, let's directly invest in this one thing. It was like, we can create our own competition and navigate it from there. Was like wild to me. I didn't know that they were both under him. I actually had no idea about that before this documentary.
Oh, okay. I'm so glad you have like a fresh perspective from this story, because it's I do think it's like super fucked up, but the fact that the whole situation didn't stop him there. It just kept going. There was like no stop for him. And that is the description of a narcissist, you know? Nothing's going to happen to me. Everything is going to be okay. And I'm just going to keep doing this fucked up thing, you know, and going behind. Because for me, the most fucked up part was the fact that he was creating this band behind their backs. Like, he had Backstreet Boys send them away, basically, to Germany for them to, because they were already kind of successful. So he's like, okay, let me send them away for a year while I create a different band here. I mean, did you see it like that, Tracy?
Oh, no, 1,000%. Like, I definitely thought it was sneaky. And I felt really bad for all the guys of the Backstreet Boys. Like, how just like a betrayal, you know? Like, you've been working with us all these years to try to make us a big name, and we're working our asses off, and like, we're being successful over in Europe, and we're hoping when we come back to the States we can build that. Meanwhile, you're focusing on a different group of like five guys.
Yeah, the weird thing about it for me was that obviously everyone wants their success to be in the States on the charts and in the radio play and all of that stuff. And he tried to capitalize on the European success of the Backstreet Boys, but only ever focused NSYNC in the US. So like, that's where, if I were in the Backstreet Boys, I would have been pissed, because like, we want to have, you're setting another group up to have a spot in the place that we were working to have a spot in, like,
towards, yeah.
Huh? And like, I did notice, like, I feel like when we were growing up, it was like they were always together. It was always the two boy bands, and it was always, they're the same. And I noticed in the documentary how different they really were in terms of like the aesthetic. I felt like NSYNC was a little more urban, and they like were a little edgier. Backstreet Boys kind of stayed pretty like traditional. But it was wild. Like, I would have been livid coming back. Like, for those of the people that are going to watch it, like, I didn't realize that Backstreet Boys came first. Like, I thought it was just like, oh, like, these groups, like, came simultaneously. Like, Backstreet Boys were very much present, created first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he made NSYNC to kind of be like, if the quote was literally, if we have Coca-Cola, instead of letting someone else create Pepsi, I'll create the Pepsi. Which is, like, so interesting, because he's even thinking that there will be, like, a B team.
Yeah.
In that
sense.
Yeah. Right. He
wasn't
thinking that we're going to level it out. It was, like, there will be one and there will be another.
Uh-huh.
Which was
100%.
So interesting.
I knew Backstreet Boys came out first because I've been a Backstreet Boys girl since they came, from the beginning. My sister, I think also it's because my sister is older than me. You know, she's 3 years older, so she was like I was paying attention to what she was watching, you know. So from their first single ever, and then I remember NSYNC coming out, I want to say like 2.5 or 3 years later, like getting a hit, because they were probably out for like before that, but like being
well,
in
up
the
my
charts.
Heart
yes.
Tore up the charts.
Yes.
I'll tell you that much.
So, yep.
My sister and I knew that dance, and I was a Backstreet Boys stan. I don't know if you guys know this. I told my mom, everyone listening, this can be what you're going to see me say on Jimmy Kimmel one day. I told my mom once, I hate you, slamming my door, pissed off, 7 years old, because I felt that I should be the sixth member of the Backstreet Boys, and she wouldn't call them to tell them, we have a phone. You must know their phone number. That's how phones work. Look it up. You're my mom. You need to call them and tell them I can be the youngest one. I'm little. That can be like my shtick. I had the whole thing like ready to go. Like, I'll be the kid in the group. You know, it'll be fine. You need to tell them. And she was like, I don't know how to reach. What are you talking about? And I was like, I hate you. That you're not trying to do that for me.
And then close
like, what?
The door.
Yeah.
Slam the door. I hate you. Yeah.
Oh,
so I was
my God.
Big fan. Millennium.
I love it.
It's over.
Oh,
it's over.
My
that
God.
Album.
Yes.
Get out of here. Backstreet's back. Backstreet never left. They never left.
Wow. No, that's pretty like awesome to hear, because again, it's one of those things that only our generation understands, you know, that I want to be part of it. And, you know, I learned everything. I waited in front of the TV until that video was, you know, playing. There was no, like, recording it, none of that. It was, it was like when it was live in the moment that I would, like, call radio stations for them to play their songs, or, like, Britney or Christina.
Yeah.
So I could record it in a cassette and put, like, a little piece of paper on the top. You know,
those
and
were the
press
days.
Record.
Ew, stop telling everyone about this. No.
Yeah.
You're dating
though,
us all.
I remember
You're
this.
Dating us all.
You know,
right now.
And
aging
I would,
us.
It's so bad. I would get really upset because they would, like, you know, the radio station would, like, say their name in the middle of the song so you wouldn't fucking record it. They would be like, "26.5" because it was in Spanish.
Oh. Well, yeah, for you, yeah.
And I was like,
I don't think
you
Tracy and I had that experience.
Exactly.
But I know.
For me, it was in Spanish.
Kiss FM. Yeah.
Yes,
there you go.
The English version. Yeah.
Yeah, so they would say it in the middle of it, and it would just, like, ruin the whole recording. But with that recording, it's the recording that you would use to practice, you know, to practice mm-hmm. the choreo that you actually learned, you know. Say, I did the same with, like, most songs of Spice Girls, you know. Mm-hmm. I had to record all of them because the cassettes got to the DR later on, like the Spice Girls cassettes. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it was a really fun time and really... it's not naive. It's more.
Well, we had to be resourceful.
Innocent.
Yeah. And like, it's actually, this ties into something that I wrote in my for the video recordings at home. This was the journal I wrote everything in.
Love that.
To know, correct. It's so interesting because I didn't really realize that he was making the band before making the band. So for people listening that don't know what Making the Band is, first of all,
I watched that.
Research
when it
watched
was on.
It. I worshipped it. That was my entire life. That was my church. That was what raised me. That was what raised me. And I think that that ties into the millennial trauma that mm-hmm. we all have. Like, it was so normalized to be like, you blood, sweat, and tears. Everything, or you will not succeed. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to be so committed to everything you're doing. He wants you to run across the Brooklyn Bridge to get him a cheesecake. Who's getting there first?
Yep.
Are you joking? Like, that was, and if you don't understand that reference, you probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast because you're not old enough. And it's uh-huh. like,
remember that.
And Lou Pearlman was doing that. And I had mm-hmm. no idea that he was drilling these boy bands into the ground, being like, they're making no money, touring
no
at malls,
money.
Going, performing at restaurants. Like, that's exactly, like, what was normal to us. You want to make it big? Be ready to sing at any moment. Be ready to do a performance at any moment. Like,
yep.
you saw little performances of NSYNC and Backstreet Boys where, like, they panned slightly to the audience. They're in grass, and there's, like,
people.
Five people there. Yeah, and it's, like, a grandma in a lawn chair, like... Like, crazy. But he was the start of that, like, kind of, like, digging into, like, you
yeah.
just, it's yes to everything.
Extreme hustle,
and,
yeah.
Or you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that illusion that I think is so interesting, where they show up to his house, this mansion, the Rolls Royce is in the driveway, he has a big TV, he's got a pool. So if he says, this is what you need to do, he had no experience in the music industry.
Nothing.
But it was like this illusion. If he says do this, look at what he has.
Mm-hmm.
He says jump, I say how high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He says shut your mouth, it zipped.
Yep.
He was literally telling NSYNC forever, don't tell anyone that we're doing this.
Yes.
What?
Yes. But it's also giving like since
also where are their parents?
That's one. And second, it's giving like a church cult thing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, they make you bust your ass off and then your money is going to donations, you know, that's
yep.
the kind of like vibe that it was giving me. And I got really, really fucking upset when they did show for the listeners. We see both bands working their ass off. And then mm-hmm. basically they're for years, and then they get their first pay stub, basically their first payment for years of work, years. And it's like 10 grand, maybe.
But what's funny is that I loved that the perspective was there mm-hmm. where it was Chris from NSYNC. For the listeners at home, we had a very limited perspective on who was chiming in here, not many people were willing to talk about it. We got AJ yeah. from the Backstreet Boys, and we got Chris from NSYNC. I will say AJ was like a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
It was better than having Howie, although Howie did check in a few times. What
yeah.
else is he doing?
And we
but
did get Eric
Chris,
from O-Town.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that O-Town was his either.
I forgot
also,
about that.
Also, some of the bands they were talking about, I was like, baby, who?
Who the fuck is Natural?
Like, no.
I liked Natural. One song of Natural.
I don't remember them at all.
I've never heard of them in my life. And you guys know me. Groups are like, my whole reason for wanting to teach spin classes for the listeners at home is getting a headset. That was my entire inspiration. So, like, I know my boy bands and my girl bands. I've never heard of Natural in my life. LFO, I had heard of. There were a few that they went through where it was, like, they had a song or two. I got it. Mm-hmm. But even Innocence, I had heard of, only because I knew that Britney was in it at first.
Yep.
But I didn't know Natural. And they were talking about Natural, like, we should all know that. And I thought that that was, like, a joke. But Chris was talking about how they got their first check, and it was $10,000. And he was like, I've never seen this amount of money at once. And Kevin, who is the oldest of the Backstreet Boys, for those of you keeping score at home, was the one that was like, how much did you make in a year as a waiter? And he was like,
oh,
wait a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it might be the biggest check they had ever seen in one payment. But for the amount of work that they were doing, no way, which is where all those lawsuits started to, like, where they started to figure out, like, both them and the Backstreet Boys separately were both like, this ain't it.
Yeah.
And then to find out that Lou's contract that he gave them made him a sixth member of them both, where he's getting that equal cut plus the manager cut, I was like,
that is so
the math isn't mathing.
Fucked up.
The math isn't mathing.
And the fact that he made millions out of these kids.
Yeah, not to mention all the other Ponzi schemes he was doing. Did you guys catch on that the whole airline thing was not real?
Didn't exist. Yeah.
And that the picture he had of a plane, they said, was actually someone holding a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And just cut the hand out of it. And it was just a toy in the window of an airplane.
And he probably drew it himself because he was an artist, you know. Like,
yeah, he actually was very good at forging.
That was insane. He was forging stamps that made it look like official foreign banks.
Yeah.
And it was working.
Yeah.
Like, how scary is that? Of the system.
Mm-hmm. That's terrifying. Because he was with that, like, one guy from Naturals or whatever who he was going to, like, partner up with.
He was like, that was my best friend. I know.
And he, like, Lou is drawing, and he holds it up, and he's like, this looks like an official, like, German bank seal. And he's like, yeah.
Imagine,
sends it off,
like,
for $1 million, and it gets signed off.
Cleared.
Imagine being that, putting yourself in that kid's, you know, shoes. Because, like, he was, like, what, 16, 17? And he gave all his money to him to invest. All of it. You know?
That's
then
the
he's like,
$100,000?
Ask questions.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you start to feel like, I can just get replaced.
And then also, like, an authority figure, too. So it's, like, there's so much, like, overpowering the whole time. And then you're, like, in a foreign country. And he's like, hey, like, what? Like, I always think, like, what were his thoughts in that moment? When he realizes that this guy is a fucking scam artist, basically.
When he saw Incognito Johnson.
Yeah, oh my god. And all those people though were like, he was so nice. So I feel like a lot of it was just like, I mean, he's successful, we think. So like, if this is what he's doing, this must be the way that people do it. But also, not to push an agenda, however, were you guys waiting for it to be like he was touching boys?
Yes, yeah.
There were so many undertones of like, I'm like, you lived with him for how many years?
7.
Attractive young man, sir.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like but it never came up. But I was like, they were like, we think he's asexual.
Like,
I'm like,
but they say like he would like little spank here and there, or like the
he would like grab touchy. Their arms.
He was
like,
touchy. He would comment about how they needed to have abs, like that kind of stuff. But like,
yeah, I definitely thought it was going that way at some point.
Especially
you know,
that blonde kid. Was that blonde kid also in Natural? That lived with him?
Yeah.
Not the one that was following him and like to Bali.
No, the
and
one
stuff.
That
the one
lived
that, like,
with
lived
him.
There.
Yeah. Patrick.
I can't remember
his
name.
Right. Yeah, Patrick.
Yeah. He like, I was waiting for him to be like, and a couple times like rent was due in like a different way than money. Like, but they were all like, no, he never. No.
I mean, how do we know that it didn't happen and he's just embarrassed and figures, like, he's well, spoiler, Lou has passed on. He's mm-hmm. dead.
Yeah.
So it's like he doesn't have to admit it, even if it did mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. maybe it was traumatic, so what's the point in dredging it up? Mm-hmm. So yeah. we don't know that it didn't happen.
Yeah, and, like, how many victims did we see? We didn't even, like, that actually talked to the camera, you know? It weren't that many, and there were so many people, like, including his assistant, you know? They were all
his victims. Assistant, though, is still, like, on the train.
Oh, 100%. She has not.
Yeah. She said she'll never say a bad word about him.
No, she loyal. That's, yeah. When people are looking for assistance, watch this documentary. Find a bitch like her.
Yeah. She'll have your back.
She, to this day, $500 million, spoiler, of how much money he stole from people, essentially. And she still, like, love him.
Yeah.
Great guy.
There was another guy too. There was a guy that somebody said, like, oh, but what about the amount of money that he stole, like something like that. They asked him, and he said, can we, like, not talk about that?
Oh, he was that one guy that was super loyal.
Yeah.
There were a couple of them though, because one of the guys was like, I went to go, like, check in on him in jail, but, like, I wasn't doing so good either, so he didn't let me come visit him, and he still was, like, talking nicely about him. I'm like,
what the hell?
That guy's in jail, and he said no to you, mm-hmm. and you're still, like, loving though.
Which I think is so funny, because it's like all these people say, I'm not going to talk poorly of him, he was a great guy, da 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 da, and then he dies and no one wants to claim the body, and then when they finally do, only five mm-hmm. people show up to his funeral.
Crazy.
Which so says so much. It says
that's
so much.
That's in my book, that says everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, who is there yeah. at the end?
Well, and that's what they kept saying too, about, like, when things like this happen, you never include your family. Like, you don't have your friends give money to it. You don't give your family give money to it. And those were his leads.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. He started with
those people.
Yeah. Those were the people that were funding him, basically, and all his crazy ideas. But there was also that that one guy that came to Orlando from New York. That was, like, Frankie. One of his best friends. Yeah, Frank. Like, they were neighbors first, and then he was like, hey, I'm doing this. And, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that he, as a person, was so narcissist and so selfish that even when his friend passed away, he still didn't take any responsibility for it. He mm-hmm. didn't take anything. At first, he kind of, like, blamed it on him. And then he said, like, oh, no, actually, he was killed. And it's like, bro, like, where is your... And also, this is, like, a little parenthesis. I want to know his background. I want to know why Lou is so fucked up in the head. What happened to you as a child that... Mm-hmm. And obviously, he was probably...
They touched on it a little bit.
Yeah, like, but I wanted
bit.
More.
Not enough.
I
was like,
he was
more.
Definitely, like, an underdog, but still, like, what made you this way that you needed people to, you know, you needed to sell yourself constantly and sell a lifestyle that you really didn't have because you owed so much fucking money. You were selling a dream to all these kids, stealing money and owing more than what you were stealing. So...
Well, I want to
know what got him there. Yeah.
I wonder if it's because, like, they did mention a little bit that he was just, like, the chubby Jew. I'm so sorry to put it that way, but but it was, like, no, he grew up, he was always,
most
like...
Most of us were at some point.
Guilty! like, overweight, you know. Maybe he was, like, picked on when he was younger. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I feel like they maybe alluded to the fact that he was just bullied when he was younger. So I feel like in his head, and also having a famous uncle, his, right? His
yes.
uncle is...
Yes, yes.
Art Garfunkel. Holy mm-hmm. shit. So,
which
to,
they
like,
didn't, like, dig into that enough either, because it was, right. like...
Thank you.
You're building these bands... Mm-hmm. Your direct relatives, not even, like, distant, direct, immediate family of uncle and cousins are the Garfunkels.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Right. And you could have led with that, and all these people that were like us that would have been like, for sure we sign with him.
Yeah, yep. He may have. Yep. Who knows?
For sure we sign with him. Like, what? It's like in his blood, but he had no background in it. And then when we found out all the ways that he was funding it, it was just like there was fake airplane stuff. He had that
blimps.
What even was it? Like not a retirement fund, but like a 401k type thing that he said was universal for anybody. Yeah. Which like, first of all, hello everyone. Huh? But it tricked 2,000 people. 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And that you were know putting what money I was into thinking, something that didn't do anything. It was going to him.
You know what I was thinking too? Like, you're bringing that up, like the amount of people that invested in bullshit. Mm-hmm. He had two boy bands. So talented. You know, they were, for me, like in my eyes, they were the epitome of pop. These two bands opened doors for so many other pop stars. And I always think about the fact that all that money that he was getting, if he would have been put into these bands, he would have made so, instead of like less, know, like, yes, he would have made so much more money. And granted, like he had no idea what the fuck he was doing at all. You know, he was lying and living this life that wasn't real, because he would make them perform with like no audience, and then actually you're going in on a private jet. What the fuck? Like this is so like up and down, like a fucking emotional roller coaster for these kids. But he could have actually done good with the money, like. Mm-hmm. He could have put that money to work. He would have gotten it back like that 10 times full. It would have been so awesome. And that's why I'm so curious to see why he became the way that he became, who he was at the end. You know, well, not at the end, like his whole fucking adult life. You know, what happened to your kid? Because, yeah, we get bullied and shit, but how bad was his bullying? You know, how bad was it at home? Because I always think of home, you know, like at home is where your belief system is created, you know, it's where your strength comes from. Like some parents are like, whatever, other parents, I was like, don't take shit from anyone, you know? And I wonder how it was, his relationship with his parents, you know, with his whole family, because...
Well, he got so consumed with the illusion of the success. Like, that was kind of how he kept those bands latched on. Was like, like, we're traveling on this private jet. You have your own charter bus. They even mentioned, before they were anybody, they each had their own security guard traveling with them. Like, he created this illusion of, like, it was almost...
Success.
It was this, like, weird form of manifestation where he's like... We're already successful. We need the security guards, but it creates the illusion of importance before the importance is actually valid. And then it like gets in their head, and it like it helped lock them in, instead of somebody being like, I'm not making it's because they could have been like, I'm not making any money. I'm busting my ass. Like, I'm out. Like, this is crazy. But instead they were like, well, we have security. There's these like girls screaming our names outside in Germany, but still. And like we're traveling on a private jet. It's could be worse. I could be just like serving, you know, Cheddar Bay biscuits at Red Lobster, and it's you know, I'm okay. I think this is okay. So he was so consumed with that, he was overspending instead of being realistic. Like, you think about bands later, like even Fifth Harmony talks about how they were like, they put us in one hotel room, we like had to buy our own outfits at Forever 21 before we went to go perform at Mall of America. And then, like, we didn't get our own bed. We didn't get our... Like, that was, like, cockroach effect.
Yeah.
Which creates that animosity, and then nothing lasts. Whereas, like, with these groups, he wanted them to feel like they were the elite of the elite already. And then anything that he touched, he started to claim in, like, a different way. They mentioned, like, he claimed ownership over Britney, but Britney was, like, never really his.
And when but he because, was, like, showing pictures.
He had, like, the slightest affiliation, but would, like, latch onto that mm-hmm. so that you would, like, buy into, like, what he was. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, the catch of it all.
Again, like, it's a need to be, like, liked and to be, you know. And that's why I'm like, what the fuck happened to you that you... Because, again, you talked about Britney, but I think he did it with a few people, you know? He was, like, showing this, like, celebrities, and so he's like, oh, yeah, like, I made them, you know?
Oh, and, like, right after September 11th happened, and
Michael
he, like,
Jackson, called, he tried to latch on to them with the Jackson 5. I didn't even know that.
But he, like,
that.
Calls George W. Bush and is like, we need to get to New York.
He says.
He says. I know, that's why I'm
he
like,
says.
I...
They
how
never
did he
clarified let, that.
Right. How did he have that happen, though?
Mm-hmm. No, insane. Like, no one's flying. We just had a terrorist attack with planes.
Mm-hmm.
And he flew them out. In my head, I was like, we can't go to Hertz. Get a rental car. Drive to Orlando. Like, give me a break.
Thank you.
Take a bus. Like, man. Take a train.
Yeah.
Like, it was... I was like, that... We had to fly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he claimed that he called the president and was able to get it. Like, that's the crazy, like... reputation he was portraying.
Right.
Yeah, it's again, like, I want to know what, like, what was in his head about this, like, what first, what happened to you, and second, like, I try to, like, try, I'm not I have my moments that I'm super narcissist, but, you know, I try to, you know, like, get in his head and be like, okay, so if I do this, like, there was not one way that this was going to pay off, whatever he was doing. You know, it was a disaster.
Not with the amounts that he was going through.
Yeah, it was just like that example, the September 11th one. It's like, what is that going to get you?
But
for them to like you, is that what it is? Yeah.
People that, like, embezzle, you know, it's they might not start, like, thinking that they want to do that much. But, like, you keep getting away with it, and you, like, snowballs. Are, like, I mean, I can just do, like, a little, I can just do a little bit more. I can just do a little bit more, and then I'm going to stop. And then I'll stop. And then I'll stop. And he just kind of got, like, way over his head about it. And when people were really buying into it, and he gets a whole office to himself, he gets a whole, like, and he's running Orlando. I mean, what else is going on in Orlando outside of Disney World? You know, like, at that point... He feels like he really is, like, a power player, and he's going to start, like, changing the game. And you're like, all I need is this one little break, and I'll clear it. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will know.
Yeah.
And it just, like, added up with him.
Yeah. And you know what I was thinking? What's up with Orlando, man? Like, all this, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, everything is in Orlando. Like, listen, O-Town, making the band, you know, it was in Orlando. That's why they were called Old Town. Which, by the way, Tracy and I went to an Old Town concert like 8 years ago. I want to say not too long ago, and it was actually really, really good. They are still performing really good.
Oh
yeah, they're still performing.
I thought Old Town was like a Diddy making the band thing. I had no idea it was still him. I had no idea that it was still Lou Pearlman.
Mm-hmm. I bought their CD in Fred Meyer. O-Town. I was so excited.
Like, I know. To think of, like, bands that we have now, and not really.
Well, I mean, I know, like, obviously One Direction kind of brought the boy band back type of thing. But that was, like, I felt older. So I'm like, I wasn't into One Direction.
Yeah, I mean, they have, like, great songs. You can come in, like. They have great songs because, like, I think Story of My Life, I'm like, if I'm teaching
they
psych,
do.
That class, that song might be in it. Like,
well, I'm going to send you a remix I have of that that's, like, the best go-home ever, but...
Please.
I never related... I'm actually doing a One Direction ride tomorrow, and I don't know their shit. Like, I just... And to be honest, I might get torn apart for this. I just don't think any of their shit hits quite like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. It just doesn't.
No.
Because it's different. What you did say, Tracy, this at the beginning. It's like these bands in our time, they were performers. Like, it was not just singing. These people would danced their ass off. Their videos and a lot of them were involved in the songwriting too. I know NSYNC had a lot of themselves were songwriting and were, you know, choreographing, I think, at the end too. So mm-hmm. The talent was just like insane. Everyone was triple threat.
You know? But again, it was also like that mindset that I think is very like millennial of like, yeah, don't stop. Mm-hmm. Don't ask questions. You do what you're told and the success will come. I mean, look where it's gotten us, but it's just, you know, that was like what it always was. Watching Making the Band again, I will live and die on Danity Kane. Like they're being compared to like their direct competition. Mm-hmm. Like, she's the other blonde girl, so are you going to take her or are you going to be in the band? Like, we saw that ad nauseum all the time. So when he's talking about, like, they're literally rehearsing in a warehouse that has no AC, they're sweating their ass off, God. They're doing it all day, I was like, not even, that's what we do. You want to be famous? You want to be a famous performer? That's what you do.
Which seems crazy to me, because when you're throwing all of this money around, like the charter buses, and it's like you can't rent a space for them to perform where they're not dying.
One dance room with some mirrors, like give me a break.
That's what I'm saying. It's like if the money was put into it, it would have been a whole different story. But again, we wouldn't be talking about this today. That's what makes a good docuseries, you know, because it was three episodes. And again, like, they could have dived into, like, way more things, you know.
It's only three episodes, 40 minutes each episode. Like, they, I was, like, ready for more.
Yeah, it's an easy watch, and I was like, give me more. I want to know more about this guy's background. I also, you know, it was really nice to hear a little bit of, like, you know, the bands, like, when they were really young, you know, they were talking about the fact that this is something they've always wanted to do.
They weren't like, questioning the contracts?
No. They were so passionate.
You're signing me? Great. Yep. That's it. That's all it was. Like, there was no, like, now it's like, am I going to own my own music? Like, do I get the streaming? Like, that wasn't a thing. It was just like, you're going to sign me? Where do I write my name?
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to do this. Yeah.
Do you know what was crazy to me, actually, is that after the lawsuits that Backstreet Boys and NSYNC brought to him to try and separate themselves.
People were still signing up with him.
Yeah. But do you know who especially was on his roster? Aaron Carter.
Uh-huh.
Nick is in the Backstreet Boys, which, can we talk about? I never noticed how much younger he was than everybody else until this docuseries.
Little baby. Like,
and when
12, I think.
The scene where they're in the studio and AJ's about to punch him in the face.
You're on the wrong note. Like, you're on the wrong note.
I'm like, yo, wait, what can I say and not say on this podcast?
You can say whatever.
Everything.
Great. You know that AJ was doing fucking lines. AJ is like doing lines. He's shooting up. AJ's doing all these drugs.
100%.
And you have this 17-year-old Nick Carter telling you that your pitch is off. Give me a fucking break.
Like, I actually think he was even younger than that. I think it was like probably 15.
I'm not trying to justify the drug usage or AJ's lifestyle, but like Nick was a baby and being like, AJ, your harmony's off. I could have been dead ass sober and I would have been like, the fuck did you just say? You need a babysitter to be here. Like, are you kidding me? Like, and AJ's like, mom? you're making it worse.
Yeah.
But they sued Lou Pearlman and his parents, Nick's parents, still signed their other son with Lou Pearlman. Aaron Carter was a solo artist that his parents still were like, yep, go with it. Go ahead.
Which
it'll
just tells
be fine.
You a lot about the dynamic in that family. That poor family that has seen so much fucking tragedy.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However that goes. But yeah. Like, I was like shocked when it was like, Aaron Carter is one of Lou Pearlman's people. I was like, but we just sued him?
Yep.
Huh? Also, Howie showing up to all of those things when the rest of them wouldn't. I'm like.
Yep. Yeah.
Wait, what? Okay, but wait. Do you think that you guys, genuinely, do you guys think that you guys would have gone? If Lou was like, I'm having this thing. I want you guys to come and, like, talk and, like, this is my birthday party.
I don't think so. I'm
a petty person. It's not happening. Once you're, yeah. Once you're on my shit list,
yeah, like, I'm out. No, yeah, I usually, like, I won't talk to you ever again. Like, there's no fucking way. I appreciate his tender heart, basically, because I keep thinking, you know, the fact that at the end of the day, this awful human being, this motherfucker, did put all these people together in a room, you know? Like, he did not fucking create, like, for you to find, you know, this group of people that can harmonize so beautifully, it's really hard. You know,
well,
that
look at the present day ones, One Direction, Little Mix, X Factor, Fifth mm-hmm. Harmony, all those groups. I mean, they stop being together.
Exactly.
So like to find a group, the Backstreet Boys are still touring.
Yes. And they're
so like the fact that they're still, it's true. Yeah. Like he really did like find something special in that. That was maybe like the gift of it all. But like, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, I don't know how I would have. And AJ did talk about that, where he was like, we made the choice to, like, be loyal to each other.
Yeah.
And, like, see this as long as we feel like it's working. Yeah. But I don't know how I would feel about one of us going you know what I mean?
It would feel like a stab in the back, you know?
It's like, you feel like you need to go? Because we don't.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. He did that one good thing, you know, put these two amazing freaking bands together. Maybe, you know, but it's just like
I'm sorry, what about Natural?
Natural, Old Town. Old Town is still touring. They're still touring together. And
are they? Like,
yes. We went to see them, Tracy and I, in New York.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And Lee, they are so talented.
With Ashley?
He's not part of O-Town anymore.
No,
but
he left
O-Town. Oh,
got it. So it's just the four of them. But they're still great. Okay. They don't need him.
They don't need
Ashley.
They really don't need him, yeah. Honestly, they don't. Yeah, he left them, early, too.
Yeah, because he went to do, like, Broadway stuff. He was on Broadway.
No, he wanted to be a solo.
Well, a solo. And then that didn't work, so now he's on Broadway.
Everybody thinks that they're the Beyoncé, and they're not.
They're not.
Everybody. They're not. Camila, how are you doing?
Oh, God, Bodice. I did not like that girl.
Justin Timberlake, I don't like him as a person, but I think he has been successful.
He's fallen off. Also, the scene they had of him, like, in his bedroom when they were like, this is my room, and this is a picture of Janet.
Oh, my God, the Janet Jackson poster.
I said this did not age well. Yes. I said exactly the same thing.
I'm like, you ruined her career. But yeah,
you really
good.
Did.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I know. I saw that and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
and that's on the patriarchy.
Well. Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, and this is why people don't like you.
Literally, mm-hmm. literally. That's why.
And
your
you know
tour
what I was thinking?
Bombing.
Like again, like what you were saying, Lee, about like no one is Beyonce. Beyonce is Beyonce. That's it. Nobody else. Like, even for...
No, it was a once-in-a-lifetime flippant moment. Like, that happened, and good for her.
Yeah.
Everybody... People just need to realize sometimes that, like, it's okay to be the star of the group, but stay in the group.
Yes, yes. And also, like, you think about it, and, Justin Timberlake had his good years, but I feel like everything is falling apart. And let me tell you something. The reason that...
Harry Styles.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes,
for now.
But for now. I would argue that One Direction was like never really a cohesive group.
That's true, because somebody left too before him.
Zayn left before him.
Right. Yeah. They all
and thought that he was gonna
branched
be the star.
Off. Yeah.
And like it's, you got five guys together. They also honestly would have probably benefited from just sticking it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I was saying about Justin is like. He's always wanted NSYNC to get back together. The one that doesn't want it is Jay-Z. Which I always loved way more than Justin.
Well, Jay-Z girly,
was
for sure.
Jay-Z was the actual like most talented one.
Thank you.
And yeah, and he was like objectively, like that was like how it was. It was just that the label started to feel like Justin had more like star power, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I just think it was Justin kissing ass. But JC was always the strongest one and was a little bit older. So he was like the natural leader. And it just, he wanted, but that's, notice the Backstreet Boys. I think Nick tried to like venture off for a second and then realized like, yeah, no, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But they, the reason they work is that they know their place. Like once you figure out your formula within your group, if you stick to it, it works. Like,
yeah.
Who is the first verse? Who's the bridge? Who's going to lead the chorus? Who is this under harmony? Like, all of that leads to everything sounding cohesive. So if you can just be okay with your spot in the group, mm-hmm. it'll be fine. But when people start feeling like they need to have more parts and they need to have more of the, like, center in the dance, like, all of a sudden it gets messy. And I think that for JC, it's probably a lot of, like, trauma of, like, him feeling that he should have had more prominence.
I thought about
Justin
that, too.
But Justin getting... Because the other three, I'm sorry, like, what were you doing? Like, we all knew your part was just to exist. Like...
Yeah. Like, yeah, they okay, were carrying
maybe you
that
had the
band.
Harmonies, but, like, yeah. I don't think there's a single song where they have, like, a lead line. It was just Justin and JC.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, in the Backstreet Boys, they all have a part.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, if you think about it...
Everything equal.
That what you were saying. Like, Backstreet Boys was more of... they had way more ballads than NSYNC. Mm-hmm. NSYNC was more... And they were both, like, really performance, too. But NSYNC was really, really strong in performing because of that. Because... they had two amazing leading singers, and then the other one were chorus, basically. It's like in a Broadway show, you have two leading actors, and then the rest is the ensemble, you know?
Well, and look at groups like the Pussycat Dolls. Like, Nicole. You have Nicole. It should have just been Nicole and the Pussycat Dolls because they have some backgrounds, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And that's what creates the animosity. Like, mm-hmm. even though Nicole feels like she did all the work, and that's justified. I mean, like, she's the vocals of the group.
Yeah.
She feels entitled to more. They feel entitled to, like, why am I not getting more?
Mm-hmm.
The balance is what can create that kind of, like, symbiosis of mm-hmm. what can keep everything moving.
Yeah.
Even Danity Kane... If you're listening at home and you don't know who Danity Kane is, don't even comment on this because I don't know that I'll survive. But part of their strength was understanding, like, this person should always start. This person has the pre-chorus. Yep. This person leads the chorus. This person will always have the second verse. It created that balance of what makes sense and also works sonically.
Mm-hmm.
So then everybody kind of has the thing that they have ownership of.
That's true.
Whether it's actually equal or not is not relevant. But, like, if you're like, I'm always the second verse, you feel good about it. You know, like,
great.
My turn in the studio, that's great.
Yep.
Whereas, like, groups like NSYNC have that imbalance, and that's where the rivalry starts to kick in, and Justin mm-hmm. and JC are the ones that can't fucking get it together, you know?
Oh.
And JC doesn't want to come back because he doesn't want to be second fiddle to Justin when he knows that he's capable of more.
Way more. Even
it just
when
didn't work commercially.
At his concert, I was like... They perform at Justin Timberlake's concert, and they did, like, I want to say an acapella. Oh, my God. He sounded so beautiful. And then Justin Timberlake came in, and I wanted to be like, shut the fuck up. Get out of here, you know? Like,
well,
we don't need
now
you.
Now we know. Now
yes.
we know. It's like,
yeah,
what are you
wanting? I mean,
we
I was
know.
A fan of JC my whole life. I was never into Justin Timberlake. I hated his hair. I was
ramen
like,
no
hair.
Surprise. To anybody as the king of calling people out, quite mm-hmm. literally, I loved Lance the most.
I wonder why.
Lance was my favorite one. I was like, I like
quiet,
him.
Quiet, brooding one, you know?
Literally, like, wasn't doing anything. Was not contributing nothing. And I was mm-hmm. like, I like that guy.
I know. I was obsessed with Kevin and the Backstreet Boys. Like, bad. Like, my sister and I both liked him. And then my sister was like, okay, I'm going to take Brian. And I was like, okay, perfect.
I liked Brian was mine. I liked Brian.
Ugh, but Kevin. Oh, my goodness. And then, now that you're talking, you were talking about the imbalance. Did you guys ever listen to the band, the British band, S Club 7?
Who are you talking to? Yes, I did. I watched that show as if I was getting paid to watch it. Of course I did. So that was my dream.
Reach for the Star. Reach. That was the name of the song.
Reach for the stars. Yeah, of course.
Yes. So that band, there were like 8 people and there was only one.
Well, there were 7. But
there were like 7 and there was
just S-Club 7 had 7.
This one girl. Yeah. I'm like, there were like 7. No, not really. Yeah, there were 7. So there was just this one girl that she was just a singer. Then the rest of them,
oh my god,
were
what
ensemble.
Was her name? I'm gonna hate myself for this. She was short blonde hair.
Yes, yeah. Right? I can't remember her
name. It started with a J.
Yeah, I like Josie or something. Their songs. They were so good.
Two
they
in a million.
They had a reunion. Oh my god, 2 in a million? That's so good.
We are Two in a million. Yes, it was so good.
So good.
They were
so good.
They were cute. They were balanced, which was like, this is so, listeners at home, this is so fucked up, and I don't endorse this. But they had girls and boys, right? Uh-huh.
Yes.
They had blonde girls. They had brunette girls. They had a black guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had a brunette guy. They had a blonde guy. Everything was covered. I think all the girls were actually white, but some of them were like olive complexion.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
There was some kind of balance across.
There was some diversity. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
wise.
But their success, and I will die on this hill, was the fact that they had a TV show.
They did. They did have.
They
a
had
TV
a TV
show.
Show that was like a pretend sitcom, basically about
it was
them
so
being
bad.
A group and trying to make it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was based off of their actual songs and their actual records. Mm-hmm. So you felt like you were like along the journey with them, but it was like literally like a Full House version of them making their album. It wasn't like making the band where like reality.
It was a sitcom.
Fully scripted.
Yep.
They're acting their way through it. They had characters, but there's 7 of them. So there's somebody that everybody can relate to, at least one of them.
Yep. Yep.
And they had enough parts kind of sometimes where you'd be like, that's Bradley.
That's
you know
me.
What I mean? Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was like, I loved S Club 7. I would beg my mom to take me to Borders to go get the CD.
Because
they were the only ones that had it.
I did not get that one, but
S Club Party.
Oh my God. That was
ain't
such
no party like an S Club
Party.
Party. Yeah.
Hey,
I think they were also like... Yes. Yes. Choreography you could follow.
Yes. And the other band that I was going to talk about, British, was Westlife. And I
don't know them.
Loved. Okay, so you have to listen to the song When You're Looking Like That. And I think you'll hear it and you'll be like, oh, I think I remember. Like, you might have heard it at some point in your life.
Westlife?
Westlife, and they are still touring and successful.
Yeah, S Club had a reunion. One of their people died.
But which one?
Paul.
What happened?
He
did I know
OD'd.
This? Oh, God.
Speaking of AJ, yeah, he OD'd, yeah. And he was dating one of the girls in the group. So it was like a whole thing. But they just did a Pride thing because the blonde guy, what was his name, John maybe, he came out like within recent years of being like, I'm gay, like Lance. So they just did a whole Pride thing and they're all in like rainbow stuff and they did a performance I think in England maybe.
Okay.
But yeah.
I'm going to send you a Westlife song and you'll be like, oh yeah, I definitely know who they are.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Westlife was, and they actually did a cover at some point throughout their success, you know. Also, by the way, in DR, we had a lot of European bands that were really successful in Latin America, that were more successful in Latin America than actually here in the U.S. But
that's everywhere. The U.S. doesn't understand pop Like, I should be in England.
Yeah.
Because their charts understand. They pop. Understand.
Yeah.
Little Mix.
Yeah.
Is, they've had a million number ones in the UK. And yeah. here, not a single one. I don't even know that they've been in the top 10. And yeah. their repertoire.
I know. But their songs are really fucking good.
Little Mix
is really, really, really good. They did a cover of Uptown Girl, Westlife, at some point. And that cover became a hit because of them again. Like, that song became a hit again because of them, because they cover the song and they did a great job in it too. Okay. Even so, yeah. So Tracy, do you have any interesting facts this week? You do?
I have a couple of things. Okay, it wasn't a lot, but a couple. Documentaries are hard because I feel like
They cover everything.
They kind of cover a lot, but there are always a couple things that they have to leave out due to, like, time constraints or whatever. But I saw there was an interview from the executive producer, Michael Johnson, and they had asked him, like, how were you able to get all of this footage for the documentary? So he said, we basically had to set aside all shame as we drove people nuts, begging them to check their closets, their sock drawers, their parents' basements, disposable cameras, their treasured CD and DVD collections, and everything in between in order to gather what became the driving force of our series. The gathering process began almost 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 10 years ago. And continued literally up to the day we locked picture. Our archive, wow, say that three times fast, contributions came from band members, close friends of Lou, past employees, fans, court documents, Freedom of Information Act requests, the FBI, international television production companies and networks, and even Lou's personal archive from his home, as well as his notes and writings while in prison.
Wow.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, so
I mean, they that did their that work. Makes sense. They had to, in 10 years of work, basically, just to get all the facts, basically.
Right. I mean, that was, they did get a lot of, like, stuff. Good behind the scenes stuff. Like, even when they're, like, in the pool playing chicken.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And that all was the probably Lou's personal, like, collection.
Well, no, I was literally like, I'm sure Lance loved this.
Yeah, that was him recording it. It's like, I'll have this for later.
He was like, no, you can get on my shoulders. Your nuts can touch my head.
What? Sorry. I love it.
Probably true, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I know we were speaking a little bit about the, like, sexual misconduct. So the only reason why they only sort of touched on it was because anything that, like, any sexual misconduct allegations were refiled by authorities as extortion charges against Lou.
Interesting.
And basically, it was, like, looking into things, but it was a lot of hearsay. Like, no one would really come forward and say that, okay, like, this absolutely happened. So, you know, you can't put that in a documentary if no one's willing to come forward. A
lot of circumstantial stuff.
Okay. Right, exactly. And then the only other thing I saw was there was a Vanity Fair article, and Nick Carter's mom had said that when he turned 17, that his behavior sort of changed, and he said he was uncomfortable and he didn't want to go over to Lou's house. So, question mark if anything happened there. Nick's never come out and said that
Or his brother.
Well, Aaron did say he was a victim of sexual assault, but he never said it was by Lou.
Yeah.
That nothing ever weird happened, that he was always a, like, father figure to him. And that's what a lot of them said, too, that he was more of a mentor or a father figure. So, it's hard to say.
But when they're that far away from their families, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, but it's just, like, the lines start to blur on, like, what a father figure
is.
That's true.
Um, I don't know if you're going to ask me about an interesting fact, but my interesting fact was that why do all these people have to look the same? Like, why does Lou look like Dan Schneider?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that.
I was like, why is it always these genre of humans? And Dan's story was, like, kind of similar. Like, wasn't cool growing up. Like, had a lot of, like, problems fitting in. And now, all of a sudden, like, his ideas are listened to. So he's, like, kind of bullying other people so that he's the coolest kid. And all these people are having these issues. I mean, like, this documentary was basically just missing a Drake Bell.
Literally.
Yeah. And it would have been, like, very paralleled in terms of, like, what that looked like. Mm-hmm. I don't think Dan had, like, the embezzling moment going on, but, like, the whole, like, cheating the system and, like, treating people, like, running them into the ground. Oh, my God. At one point, AJ was like, child laws who? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. We were all still kids, and it was just like, wake up, do this, mm-hmm. go to bed when I tell you. Mm-hmm. Like, crazy.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I also think, like, it's such a, and listen, I always feel still like a, you know, I was born and raised in the DR, but I, like, I'm American now, but I still feel like I'm still a foreigner. And there's always a trend here in cases like this. And the fact that, you know, that the parent and children, like, separate and someone comes between them, you know, because you're telling us about Drake Bell, and I also think about the situation also happened to Amanda Bynes, you know, like it's the same, like where were these kids' parents, especially when you're signing a contract, you know, and all this like freedom, like back home, I think I would call my dad to sign something because they're so involved, you know? And I think about it here too, you know, cause there's this thing like here of the fact that like by 18, you're out of my house, you know, back home. It's not like that. You know, we're not out of the house until now. It's more like, chill, like, oh, if you have the means to like get yourself a place, great, after you graduate college, you know. Mm-hmm. But you don't really leave home, you know, and your parents are so involved in everything, in like all these like big decisions. So I wonder if that's, you know, because again, like I see the trend, and I wonder if that's a factor in this situation of these kids having to make these decisions by themselves. You know, and also, like, how, like, if you're a kid that you want to be a pop star, how are you going to say no?
Who's but also, like, be? Do their parents know? Like, if this guy's being like, I can make them a star, and those mm-hmm. parents are seeing everything that he has, like, I feel like you're just that's like, true. My kid wants this, and, like,
that's true.
I don't know another way for this to happen. Mm-hmm. So, like, how am I don't want to be the thing that gets in the way of, like, my kid getting what they want.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's like, right. Now we're more educated because of those situations. But, like, it was, like, the Nickelodeon thing, too, where it was, like, oh my God. Parents were, like, if I said something, like, I was the problem. And then all of a sudden my kids' parts are getting cut. And then, like, that's not – I don't want – you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I feel like with these parents, like, it was giving, at least with the boy bands, that it was, like, they sign and they basically sign their kids away. Like, NSYNC was living in a house together.
Yeah.
He was renting a house for them to just live together and always do this stuff together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, what? And to them, they're like, this is so sick. I'm, like, so living cool. with my friends. Yeah. And we're, like, learning how to sing together. And we're going to do dance rehearsal. Like, we're going to make it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was, what group was that? Was it Natural? Where they were, like, he told us within.
Natural has been brought up so many times.
Where they were, like, he told us within a year we would have, like, a record and a world tour.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's
selling
happened.
Dreams left and right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, who as a parent, they're probably just like, I don't want to be the thing that says no. And if this is the contract we're getting and they already created NSYNC and they already have the Backstreet Boys, like, this must be legit.
Yeah.
I feel like he was just such a good salesman too, like so charming. Because how can you get all these investors, and then I'm sure that he had to get the parents on his side. Like, you know, I'm sure, because even like the couple guys in Natural who said that the parents were like, "Don't do it, don't do it," and then next thing you know, they're signing anyway.
Yeah.
So I just think he was even very after convincing. Those
lawsuits.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He was a smooth talker.
I think,
because you're like, how else am I going to do this? If it's right here in front of me, am I stupid for swatting away the silver platter?
Mm-hmm. And now you're seeing Backstreet Boys and NSYNC being like the biggest boy bands. How are you going to be like, actually, no, never mind.
No,
but I do wonder, like, there was not one lawyer there being like, let me take a quick look at this contract.
Yes. Speaking of lawyers, I absolutely loved Lou's defense attorney. Who went, he represented him for the
The
NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and then Lou didn't pay him. And I'm sorry, iconic. you do not fuck with people's money. When are people gonna learn this? Like employers, etc. You don't fuck with people's money. So that lawyer, he looked at him and he was like, "You mess with the wrong person, asshole. you should have paid me.
You should have paid me."
He made me laugh so much. I thought he was hilarious.
And he was shorted $16 million, if I remember
right.
That
it's
correctly.
Not like it was like, nothing.
Not a couple hundred. Thanks for coming.
$16 million.
He did that gig for you, thinking that he was gonna get paid.
And he won him the case. Like, he settled out. He got money. So, like, he did his job.
Where is it?
So, you need to compensate my time.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
You don't have to look at this money.
Wow. Okay, so I give this documentary a thumbs up, both of them, because I think it was great. I did want more. I wanted more background stories from each one of them. What about you, Lee? What do you give them?
I would give it also two thumbs up. But I agree with you. I was shocked that it was over in that third one. Because it's three episodes. They were each like 40, 42 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
I was wanting, I could have done with a whole hell of a lot more. Like,
I wanted all the bands, every member. I wanted family members of this fucking manager. I wanted to dig deep on all these cases, basically. Because it's 100%. Like each band is a case, you know? What about you, T-Bone?
Like 1.5
thumbs. Oh, like.
Because I agree. Yeah, like 1.5. Like, because again, yeah, it's true what you guys are saying. Like, I just wanted more. Like, they could have gone into a little bit more on some things. Like, I still had some questions. So there was definitely more of like a deep dive. But
Especially given we had that, like, I don't know if you guys watched that Nickelodeon one.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about it.
We actually cover it. So, listeners, if you haven't seen
this, I need to go watch that back.
Go listen to Quiet Place Quiet on
Set.
Quiet
on Set.
Yes.
Quiet on Set. Not a Quiet Place.
Although, go see it.
Yeah.
Go see that movie, too.
Because I feel like that one really set the stage for, like, details.
Yeah. That one, I love that they gave us everything.
And they had a lot more, like, voices involved. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very curious to know what Nick has to say. Like, I don't even know that Kevin was in the mix that much, right? Mm-hmm. It was just, we got AJ, we got Howie, and Chris. Like, Lance wasn't going to open his mouth.
And he loves opening his mouth, especially
he on TikTok. He loves, yes. So, like,
yeah.
I wish they... Like, Kevin Gay. No, I just feel like they could have picked on a few more people. Like, Joey also very much, I'm sure, would have spoken about something. So I feel like we could have gotten more perspectives and, like, dug a little deeper. I also am still convinced, I think it's the blonde kid from Natural was keeping things to himself. You lived
probably
with him for 7 years. You
7 years.
Didn't know shit.
Yeah.
And you didn't know shit.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the thing. 100%. If nothing happened to him, he had to. I mean, he said that he was like, well, if people came over, I never saw it. Because they were
saying that he was asexual. But I never saw it. Like, no, he wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the Rotten Tomatoes score. It's giving what?
No, honestly. He had the fake girlfriend and, like, it's giving gay. like, it's giving that he wanted to touch these hot boys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 100%. You know? Like, yeah, like, he would say, like, this is my girlfriend. It's like, wait, what? Like,
even when they were like, he was touchy with them, but, like, that's just how he was. I'm like, yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Where's Justin? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so the Rotten Tomatoes score was 33%, which is super fucking low.
That's really bad.
Yeah, but the audience score was 69, which is not that bad. I don't know in, like, Netflix shows, like, how many reviews they get, but they didn't have that many reviews. So I'm thinking, like, oh, maybe they just need more reviews.
It was new.
It's still kind of fresh. Yeah, like, maybe in a few months we'll get a better score. Now, this is something we're starting with Lee. So.
Oh, great.
A little segment debut. So, you're going to give us, and I don't tell you this, so you can tell me in the moment. You're going to give me 3 movies that you love the most.
Okay.
And 3 TV shows that you love the most. And it doesn't have to be a style. It could be a reality show. It could be, like, whatever you think. So 3
okay.
movies and 3 TV shows that you think you can rewatch as many times as possible, you know? And you would say to people, okay. like, watch it with me, you know?
Okay.
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 It's hard.
Movies. Mm-hmm. It is hard. My favorite movie, like, ever, is My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've seen
that. It's a good one. Yes.
It is a good one. Yeah.
Marissa Tomei eats in that movie. She actually won Academy Award for Best Assist...
Supporting Actress.
Supporting Actress, yes. Yeah. Me, Assistant. The Devil Wears Prada.
Ooh, okay, I like it.
And then my favorite rom-com ever is He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh, that's so good.
I think it's, like, such a great example of, like, an all-star cast, like, where normally those suck. Like, Valentine's Day is, like, uh-oh. But yeah. This one is, like, actually done so well. Yeah. And is, like, amazing. And you're, like, shocked at how the storylines, like, overlap. It's just... I love that. So I think those would be my 3 movies. I'm never tired of them. TV shows. Okay. The first one that comes to mind, and I think that's because... it, like, supported me in coming out, Ooh. Is Brothers and Sisters.
Okay. I don't know that one.
It was on ABC. It has Sally Fields in it.
Oh, yes. I do know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How many seasons
and there was
did
a
that
gay,
have?
There was a gay brother on it.
Yeah, I remember
this. And that was, like,
this.
Pretty revolutionary for the time. So I would watch it just to, like, follow, like, the gay brother storyline because he wasn't... a character that was, like, this is fucked up, but he wasn't, like, super flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he seemed, like, kind of regular. And so I was, like, it was, like, an interest. Because normally if you saw a gay character, it was, like, they were
stereotypical.
The most gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I feel like that helped me kind of be, like, there's different versions of gay. And so, like,
yeah.
I could see that. I love that show. I loved the show... I don't know if this is one that I would never get sick of. I've never rewatched it, but I was obsessed with the show Heroes.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Hayden Panettiere was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, well, okay, I can't, okay, I'm going to say with Heroes, I would also, because Hayden Panettiere sparked my memory of the show Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Which I
That's
really
a good show. Yeah.
Deeply relate to. And... Glee.
I knew you were gonna say that one.
I love Glee. I love Glee. Yeah. Yeah. It's so not okay now.
Yeah.
But it was so much everything then. Like,
yeah.
It was just, like, perfect. Like, it was immaculate. Like,
it was so
pushed
good.
The boundaries. There's music, there's acting, there's jokes.
We had it just gotten just... out of school, too, like in New York. It was like trending. We were in the musical theater, like, peak for us. And mm-hmm. this show had come out, and we were like,
their versions
shit.
Of things were like, mm-hmm. you were talking about that band West something.
Westlife.
Mm-hmm. Glee, their versions of stuff, charting and, like, bringing songs back and making artists relevant. It was, they were setting the tone of, like, culture.
Ryan Murphy was just, that was basically his opener. He opened that door and he has not stopped, which is beautiful.
I could probably have a whole second episode where I come back and just talk about him because I think he gives problematic, but
hey,
for sure.
Maybe we'll watch something and then we'll dissect Ryan Murphy.
Have you seen, now we're going on a real segue, but he had that show, I think it was called Hollywood. Something like that. It's a mini series.
Oh,
and it follows old Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's like there's a super gay undertone of like the most famous actors had to like. I feel like that's his biopic.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Like,
I actually liked that one. I really liked that.
It was really good, but when I just really feel like good. All the people that he's brought onto his shows, like. I don't know.
I'm not going to make accusations publicly,
but I just feel like...
Oh, I will. Like, Jim Parsons, the guy from Big Bang Theory, when he's like, oh, you're going to suck my ding dong if you want the part.
Like
that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then look at the people that are, like, relevant on Ryan Murphy shows. They're all really hot, possibly gay men.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I mean,
just saying, Hollywood is fucking nuts, though. Like, that industry is just, it's scary out there. Yeah. Well, thank you, Lee, so much for joining us today. We loved
this
having you.
This was so
you.
Much fun.
Oh, yay! Okay, I'm glad, because we'll definitely have you again soon.
Anytime, you'll be back.
Yeah, and
twist
Lee, I wanted to ask you, where can the listeners find you? What's your Instagram? Do you have a website? Oh. Give it all.
Yeah, my Instagram is LeeThomas08. I have a TikTok where I do the most random things ever, and that's just
I love it.
Lee Seidner, I think it's just my name. Mm-hmm. I should probably know what my TikTok handle is. I literally, like, have no consistency on that TikTok. It's like, I'm on Water Talk, I'm eating Wingstop, I'm posting a day in my life. Like, there's just no regular part of TikTok. That's like, I feel like TikTok is where I, like, I don't care about anything. I'm opening Mystery Kids from Disney. Like, what's going on? My Instagram is LeeThomas08. You can catch me at SoulCycle if you're ever in Miami and you want to come take a class.
Yes.
I'm here. I teach 12 times a week, so plenty of chances to find me.
Okay. So I'll leave all of Lee's information on the show notes. This episode comes out in like 2 weeks from... No, I want to say like 10 days, 11 days, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
I
not
think it's
next
right
Thursday.
Before my birthday.
Yes!
Ooh.
So everyone, when this comes out,
happy
make sure you're wishing him a happy birthday through all the social medias, and also... comment, rate, review, because it does help the podcast a lot. It doesn't matter what platform you listen to us from. It could be Spotify, it could be, I guess, Amazon Music. We're on it. I just don't know all the platforms. Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, all of them, we are there. So make sure you rate, review, and comment. We're here to judge, and you know, we love that. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you, Lee, for joining us today. Have an amazing week, and that's it. Goodbye.
Bye.